You guys haven't been through any trials, have you? What are those? Ready? Profiting through trials again. We'll be reading the first five verses of James 1, beginning to read. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you for the freedom that we have to gather together like we are here today. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with your presence. We sense your presence in this place. And we stand on your promises. We stand on your word, Lord. Pray, Lord, as I bring this word today, that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you have ordained. Not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Something that I didn't look forward to throughout my years in school was tests. Is anybody with me on that? I remember the teachers used to come to class with the tests in hand and say with a smile, "This is not intended to discourage you or to make you nervous. It is simply to see what you know." And I was sitting there thinking, I don't know anything. So I'm in trouble before we get started here. But tests are a part of life. And I've learned that being in Christ doesn't exempt you from that. In fact, the tests that come in your life after you give your life to Christ may be more intense than they were before. Because God brings us through things to make us into the kind of people that he intended for us to be. So, James draws a close parallel to my illustration of tests with his view of spiritual tests. James does not say we should seek out trials. Knowing our weaknesses, we might pray that God would exempt us from trials. Regardless, Christians should know that trials are a spiritual discipline essential to the maturing of the Christian. They are designed to purify our faith, to produce patience, and perfect our character. So the first major point we want to look at this morning is testing, purifying our faith. Testing, purifying our faith. James begins with a word picture in verse 3 to describe a purification process. Metal in those days, as well as nowadays, was purified by heat. The metal melts and impurities float to the surface. Our faith, according to James, undergoes much the same process under the heat of testing. The test may be painful, but impurities are removed. Our profit is that through it all we learn to trust God. As we mature in Christ, the way we view trials and the way we go through trials should change as we mature. I got saved. A week later, got baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues. I was on a fast pace as a new believer. I was also involved in a charismatic church. I learned how to rebuke devils. But as I went through day after day into this new life in Christ, because I had been taught to rebuke devils, anything negative that came into my life, I started rebuking. Well, I found myself rebuking things until my rebuker was broke. And I thought to myself, okay, so what's up here? I'm doing what I was taught. I'm rebuking the devil in Jesus' name. I'm applying the blood. And it's still happening. I thought, I must be doing it wrong. That wasn't the case. Again, as the years went by and began to mature in Christ and know Him better and better, I came to the place where I began to understand that not everything negative that came into my life was from the devil. Oh, he's willing to take credit. The devil's always willing to take credit for those things. But God was allowing the things in my life that came to shape me, to mold me, to prepare me. I went through many things in the first 16 years of my salvation that, looking back now, prepared me to be a pastor. And I had no idea I was going to be a pastor. None. Didn't have any desire to be a pastor. I thought, if anything, I would be an evangelist. And I did launch into that, start doing some of that, traveling and preaching. I did, okay? But God had a plan that I knew nothing about. And He took me through many things. See, I'm sharing this with you to encourage you, because God has a plan for every single one of us. A perfect plan. Now, He doesn't call everybody to be pastors. He doesn't call everybody to be evangelists. But He does call everybody to follow Him. Okay? And He's got a wonderful plan for our lives. In the late 1960s, one of the women nominated for an Academy Award, her name was Patricia Neal. And she was nominated because of her performance in the movie that was titled, the subject was Roses. It was thought to be the high point in movie history when the spotlight focused on her, for her history had been so moving. You see, in 1960, she was wheeling her baby son in a carriage across a New York City street when a car slammed into the carriage. The baby lived but endured several operations and months of hospitalizations. 2 years later, Patricia's daughter got the measles and died unexpectedly. Then in February 1965, Patricia herself almost died of massive hemorrhages. Her speech, her vision, and her mind were impaired. But she fought back. As if to culminate her victories and her tragedies, she won the Oscar. One press writer asked her the key to her courage. She pointed to a plaque that read, "Fear knocked at the door, faith in God answered." Fear is dissipated by faith when put to the test. Guys, James is trying to explain something to us. He's trying to encourage us that no matter what we are going through, Keep your eyes on Jesus and keep your faith in Jesus. No matter what. And I look across this crowd. There are people here that I've known all my life. There are people that I've only known for a few years. There are people that I only met maybe a few months ago. But as I scan the crowd, I see people, I remember, this person's been through this person's been through that, this person's been through this. I know of many things that y'all been through. But you're still here. We're still here physically. But the question is, are we still here spiritually? Are we still growing in Christ? So testing purifies our faith. Second, testing produces patience. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. I never, ever pray for patience. Ever. Because that brings turmoil into your life. And I don't need more of that than I need. So I ask God to give me what He wants me to have. I never, ever specifically pray for patience. My friends, I'm sharing wisdom with you today. It'll bring turmoil in your life if you do that. All right? And you do what you want to. If you want more patience and you want to ask for it, you go for it. But don't look for me to pray for patience for myself. One major problem we all have with testing is dealing with the time factor. We know that good will come of lousy circumstances. We just wish that it would hurry up. For this we need patience. We all too often say, Lord, I need patience, but I want it right now. Isn't that right? I'm preaching myself. You guys just come along. That's me. Lord, I need patience, but I want it right now. I need patience for this circumstance. So patience is the second result of testing. Patience is not simply the ability to endure until our hopes are fulfilled. Hang on that statement for a minute. Patience is not just the ability to hang in there until whatever we want is fulfilled. Okay? That's not all it is. It's not all it's intended to be. It is the steadfastness, that endurance, that courage, that conquers the problem. It does not just wait for something else to happen. Have you ever noticed when you really do have it together, you're keeping your eyes on Jesus, you've got your faith in Jesus, that you are able to keep your joy even in the midst of the worst of trials? Have you noticed that? Our problem is we have a tendency to all of a sudden start trying to fix things ourselves. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Especially if we're fixers. Last week I shared that's my bent. Or no, it was Wednesday night, sorry. That I'm a fixer. I like to fix things. That's my bent. Well, that's okay until I start trying to meddle with things that God's doing in my life and trying to fix this thing myself because I'm not patient enough, and then I mess things up. Because God knows what he's doing all the time, and I don't always know what he's doing. Does that make sense to you? Patience is what gives life to the testimony of the martyrs. Some Christian martyrs have died with smiles on their faces. Smiles that reflected the words of one martyr who said, "When I looked into the fire, I saw the glory of the Lord." This is not a shallow victory. It's a meaningful victory in the most profound sense. Spiritual trials become spiritual victories in just the same way when patience is allowed to have its perfect work in us. So the trials that we go through produces patience in our lives. Testing produces patience. I better move on. Third, testing perfects character. Mind you, it's a long process perfecting character in many cases. Okay? But testing perfects character. Patience is sometimes hindered from exercising its influence and achieving its crowning victories in our lives. This happens when we grow weary of the trials and resort to questionable ways of removing ourselves. But if permitted to run its full course, patience through the trials of life will do two things for a person that we see in our text today in James. First, it will make a person mature. First thing it does is it will make a person mature. James does not use the word to imply sinlessness. It is reaching the end for which we were created. For the Christian, it refers to a spirit mature in judgment and in understanding. Okay? We gain better judgment through the trials that we go through that produces patience in our lives. We end up having better judgment and understanding because we learn to trust God no matter what. I mean, you and I, we could all look at each other and say, "Well, yeah, I trust God." But next week there might be another trial that comes that really challenges us, and we might find ourselves professing we trust him, but now indeed it's hard for us to trust him through this. You know what I'm saying? Especially when it's something with your livelihood. You know, I mean, you can be cruising along, everything's great, and one phone call or one doctor's visit or one trip into work or whatever the situation is, one thing can uproot everything in our lives. And God does allow that to happen so that we learn to trust him and to shape our character. Second, patience will make the person complete. We see that in our text. This completion refers to being perfectly equipped. The same words are used in the Old Testament of an animal completely fit to be sacrificed. It was blemish-free. Such constancy gives us a growing strength that we might conquer old sins. You know those patterns of sin that tend to try to creep back into our lives? Those ones that we struggle with, we never talk about, that we're embarrassed about, but they're just trying to creep back in. This is talking about a person that is complete because God is moving in our lives And the process of sanctification is taking place. And we are getting better and better all the time. All right? In conclusion, by our perseverance in trials, God completes an amazing work in our lives. If through these trials we depend on the grace of God, we become entirely fit to serve, fully grown, fully equipped, and deficient in nothing. Let us then turn to Him as our source of strength. Now this is, I intentionally kept this message a bit abbreviated. It's just starting off, laying some groundwork for in weeks to come as we go through James. I believe as we go through James, we'll get revelation as to why God is leading right now to go through James. But as we go through it, I think it'll become clear. You know, as far as I'm concerned, one of the things I thought about as I was working on this message is we have been through a major trial in the last 4 years. Isn't that true? It's been a pretty major trial. It won't be the last one. It won't be the last one. And President Trump is not God. He's called by God for such a time as this, I have no doubt in my mind. That's the only reason he's back in. That's the only reason, by his own admission, that he didn't die when he was shot. There are so many variables. If he had had his head turned a little bit either way, less or more, so many variables where he would have been shot dead. But God, I've been saying for a long time, you can't kill what God is protecting. I don't care what you do. You cannot kill what God is protecting. A few years ago, actually not too many years after we opened the church, so it's probably been 15 or more years ago, I got a call from a guy's wife that was part of our church at that time. And she was freaking out because her husband was off the rails. Okay? So I went over there, sat down, talked with them, tried to reason with him. Well, it was demonic, okay? There was demonic possession there. It was absolutely, undoubtedly demonic. He was open to letting me pray with him. But then he told me, I'm going to kill myself. And I prayed with him that no weapon formed against him would prosper, because I knew it was not him wanting to kill himself. It was the spirit that was on him that was moving him that direction. A spirit of suicide. This was pretty hairy stuff. Yeah. What I'm telling you is 100% truth. It was pretty hairy stuff. I've been called into some situations over the years. It's just something God does in my life. But here's the deal. I prayed that no weapon formed against him would prosper. He told me to get out of the house. He told me to leave. You're done here. And then as I was backing out of the driveway, He had gone out to the garage and got a gas can and was holding it up to me and holding up matches in the other hand. Long story short, the police were called. He'd crawled all the way up into the attic of the house. It was a big two-story home. He had doused himself with the gas and poured the gas all over in the room up there that he was in the attic. The police were there. They were in a standoff. It went on for hours. I was sitting in my vehicle out in the street in front of the house. Down the street from the house, actually. This went on for hours. And then they were talking with him. I don't know how all transpired because I was in my vehicle removed from it at the time. But long story short, they finally did get him to come down out of the attic and it took three police to contain him, literally, okay? Here's the deal. Here's what I want you to see. This man told me later, he said, "I can't understand it. None of the matches would light. The matches wouldn't light. I would have ended this. This would have been done. None of the matches would light." You call that a coincidence? Matches don't just not light. God. He's on duty. He's answering prayer. There's a lot more to the story, but I don't want to give too much away. Since then, he died of an aneurysm years ago. So he's not with us anymore. He did go to the Lord. He knew Jesus. There was a lot more that transpired, like I said. It's so important that we surrender to Christ. What happened to him had happened because he had an offense that he would not let go of, and it opened the door to the enemy into his life. Listen to what I'm telling you. When we have offenses that we will not let go of, it opens the door to the enemy. It literally grants him access into our lives. And none of us is so strong in our own strength that we can overpower demonic powers. We are no match outside of Christ for demonic powers. You want proof of that from the Word of God? How about when they went after the demoniac and he beat him half to death and stripped him naked? They ran home naked. Huh? It's in the Word of God. Why? How did that happen to them? Gosh, they've been with Jesus. Well, they were praying in the name of the one that Paul knew. They didn't know him themselves. Are you with me? Well, that's our opening. Profiting through trials. We profit through trials when we come through them right. All right? Is there anyone this morning that would say, "Boy, my eyes kind of got open today. I realized I need a personal relationship with Jesus"? If that's you, I would invite you to just stand up, walk down here, I'll come down here, agree with you in prayer, that you be a born-again believer in Jesus Christ today. Is there anyone today that would say that? That speaks to me. That's me. I need Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. Anyone? anyone today. It's you? Come on, brother. Is there anyone else? Hallelujah. Two new names written in the Lamb's Book of Life today. Yes. Praise God. You just never know what God's going to do, do you? But one thing we know, when God's doing, it's always going to turn out for the good. Can we stand together? Hallelujah. Father, thank you for the mighty move of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for drawing two new people into your kingdom, Lord God. Lord, we bless them. We just pray, Lord, that you direct their lives. Lord, bring them back, Lord. And Lord, as we leave this place today, I pray that we are forever changed. Because, Lord, we've been under your word and under your anointing. And we just pray that as we leave these doors behind and go out into our mission field, use us, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you.